Money FM 89.3, Best of Breakfast. The Bigger Picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. Well, it's been back and forth this week around news in the banking sector, market sentiment going up and down as headlines go, and all around the aftermath in the collapse of SVB. And of course, this may have implications for what the Fed might do in the coming week when it will be deciding whether to step on the brakes for its Fed rate hikes or to just continue with its hawkish rhetoric. So something we'll be looking out for. And of course, Asian bond investors will be also impacted. So let's check in with Guan Yi Lo. She is the head of fixed income for Asia Pacific at MNG Investments. Morning, Guan Yi.
Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, let's check in first on how you've been looking at the news recently. We've been seeing quite a bit of swings in markets these days as we see all the jitters play out around what's playing out for SVB. What do you think has been the biggest takeaway for you so far?
I think the biggest takeaway is, well, we are back to normal days again, you know, where volatility is no longer depressed, you know, markets are responding to events, you know, we are really moving out of, you know, the 10 years of what we call financial repression post global financial crisis, where central banks, you know, kept liquidity so awash that, you know, valuations and your regular analysis don't seem to matter because we are all swamped by the tide of liquidity. I think this is a return to the normalcy or return to the functioning markets that, you know, we used to experience before 2008.
Yeah, so one of the things that we are, of course, focused on is where interest rates are going in the coming quarters. And because of what's played out in SVB, people are thinking, hey, there's so much chaos right now. It might slow down to some extent the economy in the US. So maybe the Fed might not need to step on the pedal. Do you think that's the right thinking here?
I think it's a bit too early to say. Okay, firstly, you know, SVB in the scheme of things is actually very, very small, right? The concern over SVB was really, you know, is SVB more of many such to come, you know, within the U.S. regional banking sector. And at this point in time, sure, you know, that sector is weaker compared to the GSIBs clearly. And investors are rightly should be concerned, but it doesn't look like, you know, what's happened at SVB is widespread across the sector. And definitely over the weekend, you know, the Fed and the Deposit Insurance Corporation in the US have come in with very strong measures to take away this contagion risk or this, you know, fear of a domino effect, you know, that really was the cause of the global financial crisis in 2008.
Okay, so I imagine you would be in the 25 basis point camp when we do see the rate hike next week?
Especially after what ECB did yesterday, right? So yesterday there was a lot of expectations that, you know, ECB will dial back from the 50 basis points. They pretty much guaranteed, okay, and do a 25 instead. Mm. Well, Lagarde went ahead and take, you know, 50 is the right thing to do because, you know, inflation pressures are still in the system. And, you know, actually looking at the economic conditions, right, they justify, you know, continued rate hikes. I mean, that was what Powell said early last week. And that was what ECB said before last week. So, you know, they are sticking to, you know, their framework, their analysis. And they clearly, you know, so long as they are confident that, you know, what's happened in SVB, what's mm-hmm. happened in Credit Suisse, is not a symptom of more widespread contagion, that financial stability is not at risk, then, you know, the monetary policy framework needs to be upheld.
Yeah, Guan Yi, for quite some time, we've been seeing Asian central banks trying to keep in lockstep with what the Fed and other central banks have been doing. Do you see that starting to turn around in the sense that they might start to pause or even end the rehike cycle in this part of the world?
Actually, I would say last year, you know, the Asian central banks were quite reluctant to hike, given, you know, we were newly coming out of COVID restrictions. The economy is very weak, you know, under optimal growth, and the focus was on, you know, trying to restore growth. But, you know, we had to hike because, you know, the Fed really went on a more hawkish than expected path, and it was creating macro stability issues. I mean, particularly via the currency channel. Now, this year, I think, you know, Asian central banks will have, you know, more freedom or ability to be independent from what's happening in US and Europe monetary policy. Okay, we have already seen Bank of Korea pause after January. We have already seen Bank Indonesia paused after January. Malaysia did not hike rates at all this year. So I think even before this recent state of volatility and people are questioning, you know, whether the Fed can indeed be as hawkish as they want to be, Asian central banks are already showing that, you know, they can diverge from the Fed.
Yeah, that's interesting because also in the past quarter, it's been seeing quite a bit of interest in Asian bonds. What is driving the attractiveness of the Asian bond space?
Okay, so we already mentioned that, you know, on the policy framework, Asian central banks are probably more ready to pause, okay, then the US. So there's already a bit of divergence there. And if you look at the economic outlook, right, Asia clearly is weakening. The growth is weakening in Asia this year. I mean, we've had a new export weakness for at least 6 to 9 months now, and that doesn't look like it's going to turn around anytime soon, given the growth outlook in the US and Europe. And on the inflation front, right, I mean, we are looking at, you know, faster than expected falls in inflation across a number of countries in Asia, okay? Again, that's different from what's happening in US and Europe as well, where the inflation prints aren't coming down as fast as the policymakers would like. The different thing is happening in Asia here. So, you know, we expect, you know, the valuation attractiveness of Asian bonds to really attract growth into this region. We actually saw that in January and February in some Asian markets before this bout of volatility created by, you know, Fed dialing up the hawkishness again, and then of course the financial sectors, you know, going through the last week of a roller coaster.
Yeah, that's interesting because we have the China reopening story. So when it comes to that, is that going to be a factor for inflation picking up because of the pickup in demand?
Okay. I think the China reopening story is going to be slightly different versus, you know, the reopening story we saw in the West. Now, a lot of attention has been given to, oh, you know, there's been so much build up in Chinese household deposits. You know, they have a lot of pent up consumption demand. We think that, you know, I mean, and again, following from the SARS experience, right, that we think the pickup in demand from China this time round will be more nuanced, okay? For example, it will come from, maybe it will benefit some of the commodity producers in Asia, Indonesia and Malaysia. So for domestic Chinese consumption, these two countries might benefit. It will benefit, you know, services, you know, via tourism particularly. And, you know, straight away, we think, you know, Hong Kong, Macau, Thailand will benefit, okay? But you see, it's not really across the board, okay? You have to understand, you know, the individual countries, you know, what they export to China, how they fit into the China story. And definitely Asia, in this bout of China reopening, stands to benefit more than the rest of the world, given our close links to China.
Yeah, and Guanyu, we talk about Asian bonds being attractive, and you point out, you know, it's going to be different pockets. So, zooming in, and where in particular are you looking at for Asian bonds, and what type of yields are you looking at?
Okay, we see value in Indonesia because, you know, okay, this is one of the higher yielding bond markets in Asia. 10-year bond yields about, you know, 6.8% area. BI, Bank Indonesia, has clearly, you know, gone on a pause, and they can go on a protracted pause given they don't really have an inflation problem in Indonesia. We see room for some fiscal consolidation in Indonesia as well. So that means, you know, from a demand supply perspective, less bonds available for sale. And on the demand side, you know, Indonesia has the domestic demand for bonds in Indonesia has really picked up over the years. Okay, so making this a more stable market, less volatile, less sensitive to global risk environment.
All right.
And that story isn't unique to Indonesia, by the way.
I noticed you mentioned China. So what's your take there?
China, okay. So China bond market, it's the second largest bond market in the world. Okay, we need to remember that. And it's really driven by domestics. Okay, so 90% owned by domestics. I think the policy outlook there, inflation print in February came in way below expectations. So all this fear about China reopening, spooking inflation, you know, I think that's put to rest now. On the policy front, you know, we think the central bank will likely keep the status quo. Okay, meaning no big rate cuts. Okay, even though the policy focus now is very clearly on, you know, re-engineering growth, sustainable growth.
Okay.
But in the onshore bond market, we actually prefer the credit sector to the government sector for valuation reasons.
All right, we'll look out for these places as potential options for bonds. We've been chatting with Guanyu Lo. She is the head of fixed income for Asia Pacific at MNG Investments. Guanyu, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.